What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Hey guys, it is Nikki Glaser, and you're listening to the You Up podcast version of the show. And we had a great show this week. Every week we have 8 hours of listening entertainment for you. Maybe you already listened to the show and maybe you want to hear the best of and re-listen, or maybe this is your first taste of the show and because it's free, because it's a podcast. Well, what I'm telling you now is to get a Sirius subscription. Once you hear the show today, you are going to want one, and you're going to want to get on board because you will be able to listen to us every single week, 8 hours of this kind of programming, and you're going to love it. We have a great podcast lined up for you today. A lot of hits chosen from the week. The best of is what it's called. And I'm here, as always, with my partner, my co-host, Tom Takar.
Did I squirt that?
Did I squirt that?
Squirt, squirt. I guess the people listening to this won't know
we're
squirtation yet.
If this is the first time listening to this show, which it is the first time listening to the podcast because it's the first episode, but if this is your first intro into the You Up world, we do call our listeners the Squirt Nation, the Squirters. Squirt, squirt is our call out to you.
Yes.
And you answer back, squirt, squirt, just so you know the drill. Got a great show for you today. Great podcast. I'm excited that this is our first podcast. This is something we've wanted to do for a while so that people can get a taste of what the show is. We've been at the show for about 3 months now. It's really found a groove.
Man, it's flying by.
It's one of the most fun things that I do. I would be a listener to the show if I wasn't hosting it.
Yeah,
I make a radio show.
After the show, we should listen to it immediately.
That's a good point. So let's go listen to this podcast with our listeners right now. Coming up on the show, we have a lot of guests for you. Ian Fidance is featured prominently in stories and in some of the episode you're going to hear today. He is a regular on the show. He is in studio right now. Say hi, Ian.
That's right. Hi, hello. My name's Ian, and how's your butthole?
He's on the show every Thursday, and that is his catchphrase, how's your butthole? So it's me, Nikki Glaser, Tom Takar, Ian Fidance, and a bunch of friends and celebrity guests. I hope you enjoy the podcast this week. Here you go. One of the last remaining munchkins, Jerry Marin from The Wizard of Oz, the original movie, died at the age of 98 this week. And I actually had an experience with him at about 10 years ago on a flight. And here's where I talk about what he meant to me. I got an email from my father with some sad news for me. And it's sad. Jerry Marin died. Jerry Marin, let me tell you who this is. He was one of the original munchkins. I think he's one of the last surviving munchkins. He was the last one.
Mm-hmm.
And now he is dead. Mm-hmm. His name is Jerry Marin. He lived to the age of 98.
Wow.
Little person, a dwarf size, right? Jerry Marin, who danced into pop culture in 1939 as the tartaned costume, candy-toting munchkin leader of the Lollipop Guild, a role that overshadowed a lifetime of quiet off-screen work to bring dignity to dwarfs, died on May 24th in San Diego. He was 98. He was married to another one of the original munchkins. Let me get to that part of
Elizabeth.
This. I have a how do you know all this?
Because I did a bunch of radio yesterday and this is the story.
This was the story yesterday?
Oh, I thought you really had a lot of info.
No,
okay.
I wish.
Do you have any other information? Because I have a story with him. This
really?
Was
Oh shit.
So Mr. Marin married Elizabeth Barrington Marin, also a dwarf, in 1975. She wasn't on the She became known as at Wizard of Oz fan events for wearing a t-shirt that read, "I partied with the Munchkins." this is such a sad thing.
What?
In his obituary, it says, "No immediate family members survive."
Oh, no.
So he's kind of, let me just talk about him for a second because I actually had the chance of meeting him. I was on a flight from St. Louis to Los Angeles in 9 or 10 when I was... whatever age I was then, it doesn't even matter. But I was 25 and I was on a flight and I was in a window seat, and seated next to me on this flight were Jerry and his wife, two munchkins sitting next to me in the middle and aisle seat.
Mm-hmm.
And she had on a hat and a shirt, and they had on all the like Munchkin stuff. Like, very proud of being Munchkins. Yeah. The nicest people ever.
I chatted with them. Was a yellow brick road.
Yeah. We chatted the whole way, and they were just so kind. And I'm just gonna toot my own horn for a second, because the one thing I remember from it was that Jerry told me, because we talked for hours on the flight, and then we eventually landed, and he was 89 at that point.
Jesus.
I mean, this was 2009.
Right.
At the earliest. It was probably 2010. So he was 90, and his wife was also very old. And I was telling him about, like, oh, I just did the Tonight Show. I had just done the Tonight Show, so I was at least 24. And I was telling him about that, and he was like, that is amazing. And was, like, just very interested in my career. Like, for someone who's 90 to be interested in a, 25-year-old's life, he was just, like, so sweet. And they were both telling me about the business and what they've done since then, which they were both prolific. Mm-hmm. And she was so proud of her husband's accomplishments, and he was so proud of her. And they were both taking care of each other the whole flight in such a sweet way. It was, like, relationship goals to beyond your wildest dreams. Like, they both loved each other so much. It was one of those things that happens to you where you're like, the world is putting us together. Because we landed, and I had just moved back home to St. Louis, and I was going to LA to visit for a trip, but I was feeling really sad in my life. I had done the Tonight Show, but nothing happened from that. I had moved back home. I was out of money. I was living back home, and I just felt sad. And I remember he was like, we were, on the tarmac, taxiing to our gate after we had landed. And he goes, you know what? I'm not going to do his voice, but he had a Munchkin voice. Yeah. He did have a Munchkin voice.
I was wondering if he had that voice.
You know, they talk
like this. Did
they
talk like this?
Yes, yes.
He was like, oh, Nikki.
I'm so proud of you, Nikki.
Yeah, he said, he goes, and not many people have said this to me in my life. I honestly could probably count a couple, but he goes,
can you get this off the shelf for me?
he asked me, can you get my luggage? And it stayed with me forever. Let's move on. So that's so funny. So he said to me when we landed, he goes, and this is why my dad sent me this obituary. This is the first I've heard that he died. I didn't get the news yesterday because I didn't listen to Ian on one of 18 podcasts he did yesterday. But he said, end it with that.
How's your butthole?
Yeah, every time you laugh, just how's your butthole? So he goes, you know what? You're gonna make it. He was like, you're gonna have anything you want in this business. I just know it about you. And he was like, and his wife goes, he doesn't say this. He doesn't do this. And I go, that's so nice. Oh, that's so nice. And he goes, no, I'm serious. You have whatever it takes. I can feel your energy. I know what I need. He literally was like, I swear to God, weird Munchkin
senses.
That's
what I was going to say, but I didn't want to be rude. Sense. He is this Munchkin gypsy energy.
Honestly, it felt special because he has been in the business for so long, but he really gave me.
If you help a Munchkin with their luggage, you get a wish.
Well, whatever it was, it felt like such a gift to me at that point, and that's. Brings me back to the idea of when you want to give someone a compliment or give someone, because I kept that with me for so long, and to have someone just say, you know what, I believe in you and you have what it takes, it really does give you a boost up. Like, it just is that
which is what he
needs
right.
to get into bed before he died in his bed, surrounded by no loved ones because he was survived by no one.
Except
for his well wishes of others.
Except for his son, Mark Maron.
But,
boost.
It is like,
need to say it.
You know, when you're climbing up something and just one little hand, a pressure of yes, but just a little bit of a compliment like that, or someone believing you, a teacher saying, wow, you're actually good at this, you should pursue this, means so goddamn much.
For sure.
So when you are feeling those things about someone that you see, I don't care if it's just a random girl in public and you're like, wow, she, just tell people when you have a compliment for them. Tell people because it matters.
And the opposite is true, too. Like, when someone's koozie doesn't matter, tell them that and it will
stump
them forever.
And also, when you give someone a compliment, be righteous and true of heart of it. Don't do it to get something back.
Well, yeah.
Like, don't tell someone, like, hey, I think you're really beautiful, because you want to, like, date them. Like, say it because you mean it.
Well,
not
that's the thing. Is like, people that do that will not listen to that advice because it's how they get things in life.
Right.
And that's, like, how they operate.
But yeah, he had nothing to gain from having that conversation with you. That was such a nice, genuine moment.
I think we all have those moments where we are compelled to tell someone something very sincere, or, like, we have a really good feeling about someone, or we just think something sweet about someone. And we stop ourselves from saying it because it's vulnerable. It might change the conversation just to interrupt and be like, hey, by the way, you are incredible. Like,
I like doing that.
I like being, you do that. We need to be more effusive with one another. Mm-hmm. When we feel these things about someone that are positive things, there's no reason to ever hold that back. Unless you're like, your tits are amazing. Maybe hold that back.
Or like,
you know, I just
that pussy
smells
good.
Yeah,
your pussy smells great from here, whatever it is. Unless you're Jerry, because then you're at the level, and I trust that opinion.
I've got a nose for pussy.
He was so sweet. I'm glad he is in wherever he is. I don't know where he is. That's the thing.
On a stepladder to heaven.
Yeah, he's
not a stairway.
On a ramp to heaven. You up. Comedian Tom Papa was in studio this week, and we talked to him about I had recently seen the movie Coco, which I watched in my hotel room one night, and I have a lot of thoughts on it, and he helped me process them with the help of Tom Takar too, who cried a lot.
What the hell?
I saw the movie Coco this weekend.
Oh, hell yeah.
I
saw
that.
I love Coco. Please tell me you liked Coco. You didn't like it?
It was an animated film of passion.
It's a beautiful film.
It is.
Yeah.
Why did you love Coco so much?
The story was great. I loved the music.
No. It's
Remember me.
Okay. Yes.
It's so
the music
good.
Is good. Here's my problem with the story.
Yes.
No one's family forbids them from listening to music. That is a ridiculous thing, plot point.
I have a story to tell you about my family, Nikki.
No music. No, that would never
but
happen.
It was because
you
the
would not
guy
play.
Was a musician.
Oh, because the father who abandoned them was a musician.
Yeah.
I get it.
My family
it
would let me
stretch.
Be a doctor because that's what my father did who abandoned me. No medicine in this family.
It does feel a little like convenient screenwriting. Like, we have to get to this part.
And I think most fairy tales are based on some kind of, like, outrageous thing like that. Like, they banned dancing or whatever. You know, Footloose is a fairy tale.
Yeah. My favorite Disney princess.
But it's just such a ridiculous premise. I thought that, and I don't know, the music wasn't that great. I just didn't buy... and like that everyone was first of all, I didn't want to watch a skeleton play guitar. Like the idea of bones on a and strings on a fret, that makes me go like,
yeah.
I just didn't like any of that.
I loved the twist though.
What's the twist?
I don't want to give it away to people.
Oh,
it's a good twist.
That it's not the father.
That it's the opposite
guy. Oh, that was a great twist. That was a great twist.
I cried at that movie. I loved
you
it.
You cried.
I did. I mean, I cry at every movie. It's
was,
not hard.
It was
but
really nice to look at.
It's really pretty. The
it's
colors
so
were really
pretty.
Nice. I loved it.
Yeah.
It's my favorite Disney movie in the last few years, probably.
It definitely stomped out Moana.
I loved Moana, too.
I didn't see
you
Moana.
Did you like Moana?
No.
But
all those tattoos
kids.
On the rocks thing. Tattoos that come to life and dance around your body.
Snoozeroo. I don't care for that.
No.
You didn't like it because you don't like tattoos?
It encourages
just
children
that
to get tattoos.
Yeah, this big lug.
Well, okay. That's the thing is like
The Rock did sing a good song in that.
I liked the music in that a lot, too.
Okay. Well, the music is great.
Yeah.
It just is like... aren't kids going to tire of this perfect animation? Like the stuff that all looks like real life. It's like, why don't we just watch live action then? It's just, it looks too good. Isn't anyone yearning for like a shitty Little Mermaid kind of 2D cartoon
just crank
anymore?
It out and throw it out
there.
But
they're going to be used to this though.
Yeah,
you know?
And then what's next?
Yeah. They will tire of it when they... turn our age and you realize I'm not supposed to be watching children's cartoons. That's really what it comes down to.
I mean,
it's really not for us.
Tom, do you cry from movies?
Yeah, I cry anything with I would cry during some movies earlier in my life.
Yeah.
But now anything with a with daughters in it.
Right.
Father's daughter. I have two daughters. So anything that
so like anything Judd Apatow makes.
Yeah.
Crashing.
What was the one? Lady Bird.
Oh,
when
yeah.
she's
so
going
good.
Off to college.
Dude,
I was watching at home alone. My wife and children were away.
Yeah.
And I was literally just watching it in my living room by myself. And she's getting ready. She's going to college. All that angst of leaving the house. Just bawling.
The Lori Metcalf scene where the camera's on her face for like 2 minutes straight when she's driving around the airport. I lost it.
Yes.
So good. I don't have kids or anything.
I saw that movie with my mom and we were both feeling a lot of things because that was set in my senior year. Like it was, everything was the same.
Really?
And
she's like going off to do Last Comic Standing instead of college.
Was that your relationship? Were you kind of fighting at that moment?
You know what I really related to was the scene where she pulls out a checkbook and says, how much did it cost to raise me? How much did everything?
Yeah.
Can I write you a check so I never have to feel burdened to you ever again? And I feel like not that my parents ever hold that over my head, but they did support me when I first started in comedy and spent a lot of money for me, like, you know, bouncing checks and everything that I did, or with, you know, they covered me a lot, and I always just feel like I just want to pay them back and be like, let's start from nothing and just build our relationship from here.
We're equal.
Yeah. So I liked that scene where she was like, let me write you a check. I just want to write you a check for everything so she can just do what she wants and not have to ever feel bad.
Yeah.
But, oh man, we lost Carlos. Carlos, will you call back in? Carlos just called in to tell us that, because I was saying that in Coco,
it
upset me that they were like, no music. And he goes, Mexican families often ban really simplistic shit.
Oh, that's funny.
So, Carlos, call back in 844-COMEDY-9. I want to find out what your family banned you from doing.
It'd be funny if Carlos was just like a white guy in like Canada. Yeah. He's like, I think Mexicans do a lot of weird shit.
That's what I hear. Do you cry during movies?
You know, not often enough. There was one time, you know what movie got me more than anything? And I must have been going through something, was City of Angels.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it is a sad
Which
ending.
One was that?
Meg Ryan, Nicolas Cage. He's an angel.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah.
That's the movie that made the song Iris big.
Iris.
The Goo Goo Dolls.
Don't want the whole world.
Yeah, that was in the trailer.
Me.
That was the whole reason I saw that movie.
But I don't think that. When she's riding that bike down a hill, I'm just like, the movie's over. This is great. And then, bam, something happens. And I remember, I went to go see it with my friends in eighth grade, I remember. And I remember sobbing so uncontrollably during the credits that I couldn't get it together. And I remember them looking at each other like, what is happening right now? And I didn't even know.
That's so funny.
So I think it can serve, like, you know, sometimes I watch something just to cry, just so I can get it out.
My wife cries during commercials.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Like, good for her.
Everyone in the family is always like, if there's any kind of sentimentality, the kids all just look over at her and it's like, mom's crying. Mom's crying.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a tire commercial, but the grandmother was unhappy. They look over. Yep, she's crying.
I love people that can get to it that quickly.
Yeah.
I just can't. It's I'm really stuffed up. Like, I just got a bunch of missed calls from this guy in St. Louis, like a friend of mine, a comedian friend who would never call me, like ever. We would text if we ever, but I got two missed calls from him this morning and I'm like, someone in the St. Louis comedy scene has died, clearly. And so I called during a break and it was just a butt dial and I was disappointed because I do want to cry and I don't
like
have
to
anything to cry. But I was literally disappointed that an imaginary person who I don't even know didn't die. This next clip involves Rich Voss, a beloved comedian. He dropped by the show, literally wasn't scheduled, walked into the studio to talk to us about many things, one of which was his 10-year-old daughter, who I'm terrified of and is a frightening bully, and who bullied Ian Fidance, who is with me right now.
Yes, she
quite severely.
Is terrifying and snake-tongued.
Yes.
And an evil being. Rich Voss is a legend, and his daughter is legendarily mean.
Yes, and you'll find out what she did to Ian and in this segment here. Oh, my God. I wish I could pull up. I'm going to try to find it on the break, but Raina bullied him so viciously.
Oh, on the way to a gig, I heard.
On the way to a gig, but then via text message. They were texting each other, and she was with a bunch of kids in this room when we were filming this movie. Ian was also in the movie. And, here it is. Oh, my God. This is Raina flicking Ian off, saying, go suck a dick.
No, she didn't say that, did she?
Yes, she texted him, go suck a dick.
And he said, okay.
Oh, can I read some of the conversation between Ian? And then Ian flicked her back.
Okay. Oh, what a real boy.
But listen to this conversation. You're going to freak out. This is a bunch of kids in a hotel room bullying Ian, and Ian is texting them. Hey, fuckface, come find us. Unless you're a pussy. Fuck you, dick cocksucker, pussy licker, ball sucker, fuckface.
Is this Ian or the kids?
I found a crack in the wall today. It reminds me of you. Crack addict, you probably watch hentai porn. You're a furry, the bad kind. Look it up.
Oh, my God.
No, that wasn't my kid. Those were the other kids. My kid's not that smart.
Ian writes back. Ian writes back, that's not cool. And he goes, Raina writes back, you're not cool. You are not respecting the rules of God.
Of what? Of God?
He sent me these screenshots, so, and I was crying laughing at how funny Raina was.
You're not respecting
and he goes,
the rules of God.
He goes, I get joking around and having fun, but that's hateful, and people have died hearing. Oh, so she calls him a really, really bad word, and he goes, and people have died hearing that word, and that's not okay. And she said, you are standing under God. I can't even say it.
Oh my God.
So I guess she found out that Ian fucks guys. So she is. I'm so sorry to share what your daughter wrote. He goes, that's not cool. And she goes, you are standing under God fucking men. That's not cool. Which clearly she knows it's fine. He said, then Ian goes, plus, what you're saying is wildly offensive, considering you're all fucking gay anyway. And then, and then she sent him just flicking him off, saying, you're go suck a dick, and violent things.
There was other kids in the room.
Yeah. Yes, there
my
were.
My kid's not that vile, because the other day on the phone...
Go suck a dick with your daughter's face. Giving
it was the other kid. It was the other kid.
Yeah, that's the other kids. They made her. They photoshopped
this
that.
This is so hilarious. It's not. I wish I could share it with you guys, but it is just a delighted child, a beautiful child, flicking off the camera so delightedly, and another kid in the background also flicking. It's a live. It's a live one.
She
too,
looks
I can play.
Evil in that.
She looks so evil. Look at your child. God, she's so funny.
At a 10-year-old, not supposed to be so funny.
That is so funny.
As I said, because she's a straight A, she's a good kid.
She is a good kid.
We put her.
But what
we,
a
no,
bully.
And here's the thing: we bring her to a club with all comics that are mean, funny, whatever. Yep. It's like putting her in a prison yard, and
she's
grew
gonna
up.
Pick up a thing or two.
She grew up around comics since. She was 2 months old. You know, when Bonnie did a special, I was sitting with Raina holding her as, a two-month-old baby. She's been with comics since, and comics are smart, they're quick, witty, and mean at times.
So she's absorbed
they're
all
so
of that.
Smart. Hey, yes. Gay ones.
Yeah. Ian's really not really representing brilliant. Us well in those
situations. I said comics.
You are... Anchorman and The Office's David Koechner was in studio and talked to us about his marriage and how much work it takes and what he does to make it work. This was really, he said he was surprised after this interview that he wasn't drunk because we got into so much like deep stuff that it seems like a drunken conversation. So here's David Koechner sober, but talking about feelings. David Koechner and Rob Mayer are here. They are going to be at Gotham Comedy Club Friday, Saturday, 8 and 10 p.m. shows. Go to gothamcomedy.com for tickets. What made you pull the trigger, David?
When we got married, you know what? I'd never met a person like my wife in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I just knew... That's it. I'm never going to meet a person like this where I felt completely comfortable, absolutely 100% able to be myself.
Yes.
She just so happened to be from the Midwest. We met on an airplane going from Kansas City to Los Angeles.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And wow. I'll tell you the story.
Yeah.
I don't have the time we have. So I'd been on Saturday Night Live the year before. And so it had been Christmas 1996. And we were all on the same flight. Going out to LA, it's a 10:14 flight. It's Vanguard Airlines, which is no longer available. But it's like Southwest. They didn't give you a seat assignment. You just go get a plastic ticket. And so I walk in the airport. And so it's 3 days before New Year's. And I'd been back to Tipton, Missouri, visiting my family. And she'd been back to Kansas City visiting her family. And so I'm waiting in line to get my ticket. And her brother, Pat, goes, Dave, why aren't you going to New York? And I'm looking at this guy like, how do I know him? Well, Pat's just one of those guys that's always overly familiar, especially with celebrities, right?
Wow.
So I'm looking at him. I see this really attractive woman next to him. Like, I talked to him for a second, and then I sat down. She plops down beside me. And then she said, my brother, Pat. I'm like, oh, okay, brother. Says I should invite you to my New Year's Eve party. She gives me her business card. She starts talking. And she says, I usually have a celebrity, but I haven't gotten a celebrity this year. And I said, well, I'll come to your party, but you still won't have a celebrity. This was a long time ago. So anyway, she's from a family of six kids. I'm from a family of six kids. And then halfway through this thing, she tells me, hey, by the way, it doesn't bother me that you've had a stroke. Now, anyone that knows me, and they think I do this on purpose, my right lip goes down when I talk, right, or smile. And I said, well, thank you very much, but I have not had a stroke. So,
it's anyway, a great pickup
She's
line.
Like, yeah. I accept you for you. Yes.
What a good
like,
nag.
You're exactly. not really.
Right. So they saved me a seat on the plane, and I was a little bit hesitant, like, oh, you know we have TV, blah, blah. And so I sit there, and she and I are flirting right away. And halfway through the flight, Pat says, Dave, are you attracted to my sister?
Whoa!
I know, that's Pat. Lee, I think you've met your match. And I reached over and I touched her knee and I said, what do you think? And she doesn't say a word because at the time she said she was thinking, I know he's going to be around a long time because that guy's going to be my husband.
Aww.
So then I gave her, she gave me a ride home that night. I was living in the Hollywood Hills. Thank you very much. And I think on the way home, I was joking. I said, we're probably going to eat there. We're going to eat there. She's thinking, I know, because we're getting married. And so that night, I think I gave her a kiss on her hand. And then what it was, 2 or 3 days, she couldn't remember my name. So I called her work, and she told everybody at work about the plane ride, and she met her husband, blah, blah, blah. And so I called a day or two before New Year's, and the receptionist covers the phone and says to Lee, Lee, it's Airplane. Airplane's on the phone.
Oh, my God.
And so Lee was like, told the receptionist, get his name.
Oh, my God.
That's
Airplane.
I could say that my wife and I have been together since the moment we met.
Truly.
Wow. That is amazing.
Yep, yep.
God.
That's so nice.
5 kids and 3 dogs later, 20 years. And
five
I say this,
kids?
And I said to Craig this morning, we were walking around, I said, you know what, I think we're in the best spot we've ever been in terms of the marriage.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell me why.
I don't know why. There just seems to be a great deal of peace and comfort.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah.
Have you been to therapy before?
Yes.
Have you had to how far?
Oh, we started in therapy.
Oh, that's
we
great.
We were having arguments early, and I was like, this, you know, I like this woman. Let's go figure this out. So then we went to couples therapy, and Lee doesn't mind I tell the story. Because Lee thought, oh, I don't need this. And the therapist said, Lee, I'd like to see you by yourself next week.
You won therapy.
Team Airplane.
We go, and every once in a while we go for tune-ups. And
because
Communication breaks down, and there's no reason for it to break down. You start building up walls. And I say this, too. The best advice I've ever gotten from a therapist was soften your heart. Because when you're in an argument, you start building up walls and building a case that doesn't exist against the other person.
Mm.
And if you soften your heart, you start to realize like, oh, you know what? That's it's me. It's not her.
Yes.
It's my problem. And, you know, I'm deciding not to deal with it. Plus,
soften
there's another book
heart.
Called The Five Love Languages. We all
love
experience, we'll experience love
so
in a different
big.
Way, you know. Mm-hmm. And so
what's your love language?
Compliments or just being nice to me.
Yes.
Yeah,
and what is your wife's?
She likes compliments and human
tequila.
Touch. And what did
and
you say?
Tequila.
Yes.
Tequila.
Yeah, that love languages has really changed some people's perspective on things because essentially what the book is, if you haven't heard of it, it's like there's 5 different love languages where we feel loved when we receive either gifts, compliments, human touch, quality time, or acts of service.
And sometimes it's a combination of those things or little pieces. Yes. And it's just, you know, it's not something you'd no, or you want to say, I need this, because then you seem selfish or needy, or then you're vulnerable, which is always a tough spot to be in a relationship.
And you think the other person can just read your mind, yes, and know what, yeah, you want, but actually people are only operating from what they want. And so a lot of times in relationships, you'll give your partner the things that you actually want, mm-hmm, and it's not what they want.
Exactly.
Because we're not empathizing enough with, yeah, that a person that we could be in love with could have a totally different perception and, yeah, experience than us.
And then you might be mad because the person didn't react the way, yeah, you wanted them, yeah,
to.
To
the thing that they didn't,
yes,
even want.
In the first, sure, place. So there's, mm-hmm, irony all, yep, around. It is O. Henry's Gift of the Magi every day. You
love! One of my favorite segments so far, we had Remy Casimir from the How Come podcast, a podcast about the fact that she realized as a 27-year-old woman she could not orgasm and had not had an orgasm, and she wanted to find out why. This is a fun conversation. Ian Fidance was there with us. Enjoy it. Well, yesterday, it's weird that you said
that
this
weird?
Because...
Most people hate them.
I only had an hour before I had to go to this dinner, and I needed to like still shower and stuff. And so I had 30 minutes, and I was like, I need to meditate and masturbate. So I'm going to combine and see if I can combine the two. Whoa. And it was the first time I've ever done that. So weird you just said that.
That is very strange.
Because, okay, so what I did, and this is so intense, but... And I'm just going to look at you when I say it, because, yeah, I feel too weird talking about things being in me.
Yeah.
I just put up my hand to block Tom's face, and he like moved to the side so that I had to see him. He wants me to look him in the eyes.
Yeah,
and
face your fears.
Listen, today's podcast today's radio show is all about facing our fears.
It's immersion and therapy.
So, Tom.
Oh, no. I hate this.
It's come full circle, Tom.
I come full circle. That's so weird.
Your cum is like the Kim Kardashian
break the ass internet milk thing.
Yes. Over your head into a champagne glass on your ass. He's come full circle.
Break the internet because no one wants to look at it again.
Yeah, the internet's,
done. Been shut down. I need to see a photo
the
like
final
that
image
now.
Thing was too much.
If anyone does porn, please.
And I'm like, somebody and I'm Photoshop like, that?
Please.
And I'm like grinning at them.
Please Photoshop Tom coming and it spring behind his head.
Like the Kim Kardashian picture. Oh my God.
Make sure you pick a hot bodied dude.
Yeah.
And it says,
represent
Tom. Please break the internet.
Please. I look forward to those being tweeted at us at UUPSXM. I'll get to what I did with the meditation because I think it's going to tie into all the toys and stuff you find out about, because I did use a toy and meditate with it, and it just didn't. It's hard. You can't meditate. You can't do TM at least and have something in you vibrating. Yeah. It's a little bit distracting. Your thoughts go in a certain way. Your mantra becomes, oh,
can't
oh,
that be your
this
mantra?
This is what I wanted to say. So my vibrator, I have a thing called like, it's one of the rabbit ones, but I got like this.
Do you like that?
Not really, no. But it's like all okay. I have right now. So it's like this thing that goes like, and then it has the rabbit part.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But literally the sound it makes is so, I recorded it once. Let me see if I can find it. So the sound it makes is so insane, but it will change frequency based on like where it is in me or like based on how, like if you listen to something over and over, it's like Yanny and Laurel. Like it will, based on where it is, it will sound Yanny. Differently. So yesterday, I swear to God, let me just find the recording of it first. Oh,
dude, when you describe this and you play the sound, it reminds me of like a Spider-Man villain.
Huh. Yeah.
Like of what this thing would look like with like the claws and like the sound. Oh, it's so gross.
Do it with your
it's
mouth.
So gross.
Do some Foley work.
Oh, here it is. Here it is. Okay. Wait, hold on.
Whoa.
I fucking have the rabbit because it's the only like sex toy people knew about because of Sex in the City.
It sounds like a kid trying to be annoying.
Okay, so
it sounds like those things
like
in Harry Potter that you pull them out of the dirt
and
then the mandrakes.
Yeah, that is it. It sounds like that's like Jim Carrey in Dumb and Dumber.
For a while, I was hearing mommy, 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 mommy. And then yesterday, when I had it in me, it was going, I'm writing, I'm writing, I'm writing.
No, no.
It
feel like,
said,
oh, great.
I'm writing.
Feel like great John Mulaney's in my pussy. You are.
So, guys, that was the podcast. I hope you got a good sense of what the show is. And if I know, and if I'm predicting right, I think that you're going to want to hear more. And you do. Here's how you hear more. You get a SiriusXM subscription. It is way cheaper than you think it is. Believe me. Look into it. I think it's about $15 a month. Get on board. You get tons of channels. And you get our show on Comedy Central Radio, SiriusXM channel 95, 8 hours of programming from us a week with celebrities, comedians, stories, truth-telling, jokes.
Lisping.
just so much fun, and we want you on board, and we want you to be a squirter, so won't you join us? We'll see you next week on The Best Of, but get on board and stay with us live every morning from 10 to 12 Eastern on SiriusXM channel 95 Comedy Central Radio. It's You Up with Nikki Glaser. Thanks for listening, guys.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.